Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, Daft Punk is playing in my house, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Arsenal are through and Pep faces Bielsa. It's Friday, 2nd of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome all, welcome gang. Good to have you with us, Jimmy and Lukey and me.
Great to be here, Marcus.
Yeah.
Before we get started, were you going to call me something then?
Yeah, no, it sounded like it, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
What do you think? Hey, you pair of...
you pair of absolute twats. Before we get stuck in, let me quickly plug not just On the Continent, but Football Ramble Presents. On the Continent yesterday was Dotun Adebayo, the great man himself, joined as ever by Andy Brassel. But yesterday they were joined by ESPN UK editor and Spanish football expert David Cartlidge. He's got a lovely, soothing voice from the northeast of England. Mm-hmm. They talked a lot about João Felix. They talked a bit about Dortmund's loss in the German Super Cup final to Bayern and a bit about Antonio Conte's Inter as well. What you must do is search Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your podcasts. Completely free of charge, of course. Wherever you get your podcast, Football Ramble Presents for your latest episode of On the Continent. It's loads more football content on that channel. It's going to be at the matches with Andy and the gang when we get back to going to games again. There's going to be Ramble Meets interviews when COVID allows us to do them. There's going to be lots of great stuff over there. So Football Ramble Presents, search that wherever you get your podcast. It's completely free of charge, and that's where you'll hear yesterday's On the Continent with Dotun, Andy and David.
Get involved, beauties.
Yeah, do it. No excuses.
David once, I went to Seville, or as the locals call it, Seville. And David said to me,
I love Italy, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I get to use my German there. And David, he recommended a restaurant to me. He said, oh, I recommend this place. I said, oh, great. It was number one on TripAdvisor, covered in tourists.
He's taken 5 seconds to be out.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I promised Marcus I'd recommend him a restaurant.
I was like, "Don't worry, love. I've got a little insight here."
Yeah, they
and
do.
And she said, "My wife said this is a top of TripAdvisor."
They do two burgers and two fries for €2.
We're very happy. Very happy indeed.
Got you full English, didn't you? Every morning,
only Paul's Norses on the TV. Pint of Guinness. What are you worrying about?
Get on to David Cartlidge for your holiday recommendations. No. That does stitch him up. He's a very cultured man, and
he's a lovely fellow.
Knows Spain very well indeed.
Yeah.
And good restaurants.
Just doesn't like Marcus. Yeah.
Oh dear! Right, ladies and gentlemen, there was some. There was quite a lot of football last night.
Loads of it.
You think to yourself, okay, there's a few games in the League Cup. That's fine. Is there anything else going on?
Oh, yes,
Europa
everything.
League. All right, everybody seems to be playing in the Europa League.
Yeah.
I think Spurs through.
They were.
Yeah. Celtic and Rangers went through.
And Spurs went through emphatically.
Oh, two dinks.
Yeah.
Two dinks. You know that's a thrashing.
Yeah, when
if you're getting
four to do
dinked
that.
All over.
Yeah,
exactly. So well done. The British side's doing very well in the Europa League, going to the Europa League proper. The draw for that is later today. But of course, last night, should we get Fulham out of the way?
I was stunned to see this morning. Well, first of all, I was stunned to see this morning that Fulham isn't officially in the running order. I suspected the long tendrils of Marcus Speller's
influence.
Well,
we saw what happened.
But I think we should talk about it. Because I sat through that game, and I'm not sitting through that game for nothing. And if we're going to do Liverpool and Arsenal, which I also sat through, we're going to do Fulham. And I want to start with Ben Rama's backheel nutmeg, which was...
On the ghost of Michael Hector.
I feel for the guy.
Yeah. Virgil van Mike had a great season last year. I don't know what's...
He just looks really angry.
Well, wouldn't you be?
I would be.
Well, absolutely,
yeah.
His job's got a lot harder, and presumably he's not got a pay rise.
Yeah, presumably so.
I mean, it's just...
Don't think he's going to get one anytime soon, either, based on this.
They asked... what's his name? The Brentford coach.
Thomas Frank. Yeah.
Did that make up for the playoff final loss? And he looked a little bit pissed off
with
that.
A nutmeg?
Yeah. No, not the nutmeg. The I mean, it's funny, isn't it?
Such a dumb question.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but...
Imagine if you said yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We can finally put that ghost to rest.
Yeah. Do we still get the same money that we would have done? I mean, it does seem like, it'll be bees up, Fulham down, as they chanted, perhaps at the end of this season.
Yeah. Well, aside from the 15-ish minutes, 20 minutes after half-time when Adamola Lookman come on,
and he
was able to change the whole dynamic of the game.
Yeah. For a short while.
Yeah, well, Fulham were already a goal down, of course, and they pushed forward with Adamola Lookman, who looked dangerous. He looked like the only player that Brentford couldn't really deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Brentford score a goal to make it 2-0, but they don't even score a goal on the break.
No.
They score a goal from a stupid set piece, which never should have happened, and it really sums up what's happened to Fulham so far this season.
It's been piss poor, and to be honest with you, one or two people have said this, and I do agree with them. Derby County will be thinking, maybe our unwanted record could be taken from it. I can't see Fulham getting any points from anywhere. Now, if I let's not linger on this too much because I don't want to.
They're kind of Wolves this weekend. They'll be all right there, won't they?
Well, if West Ham can score four.
Exactly.
It's a great win for West Ham, by the way. But if I can try to squeeze any sort of droplet or globule of positivity from Fulham, is that... It's very, very obvious very, very, very early on in the season. And so you'd rather it be now in a couple of months where you suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute, we're sort of 12 points adrift. Now, they could be 12 points adrift in two or three weeks. I take that sort of point. But I suppose I think you would rather it happen now. Of course, you would rather it not happen at all. But the difficulty is, as you said the other day, Luke, you know, that Scott Parker is very, very highly regarded there. And he's, you know, the fans are...
He's a legend of the club, isn't he?
And so, what do you do at this early stage? You probably don't do anything. But is Big Sam thinking, oh, one last job?
I think at least the transfer window is still open. So there is an opportunity for them to improve the squad. I've been linked with a couple of defenders today. But Scott Parker dresses like a man at a gangland funeral.
Yeah. He does.
And it is increasingly feeling. I appreciate we are, three games into the Premier League season? It almost feels like a sort of funeral procession.
It does look
already.
The plot twist will be that at some point he's going to turn up to one and it'll be his own.
Yeah, it does look pretty desperate. Moving on from Fulham, because I don't think this will change that much.
It's a good win for Brentford.
It's a fantastic win for Brentford. And a minor piece of revenge, I suppose, for that playoff final.
It's basically like losing £1 million and finding a tenner.
Yeah.
You still happy for the tenner?
Yeah.
But you can't get the million quid out your head.
No. But, you know, you enjoy spending that tenner.
Yeah.
All of it on sweets. Arsenal, Jim.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it wasn't Liverpool's strongest side, but it was still a strong side, and it wasn't Arsenal's strongest side.
I don't see how Liverpool come back from this.
No, I don't
like
either.
Being dominated so much. I know Arsenal didn't score, but I felt like that was like a deliberate thing. Yeah. Like they knew that they wouldn't need to.
I know.
So they wanted Liverpool to know, we're just going to do you on penalties.
That's right.
It's not a lottery, as has been said, you know, vociferously this week. So Klopp needs taken down a peg or two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't even keep this up. it was not a good game, was it?
That whole lottery thing, right? We know that the certain types of people have won the national lottery and then spent all the and been very reckless with it. And
Mean Lotto Lout Mickey Carroll particularly?
Well, he does leap to mind.
Pete Donaldson.
Exactly.
That would make so much sense. Yeah.
But like with the Arsenal lottery, so it's quite clear anybody, whether they're a good person or a bad person or whatever their ability could with the lottery, like nobody shit ever wins a penalty shootout, do they?
No.
That doesn't happen.
No, I suppose not, no. But the thing is, you wouldn't be able to be in quote shit to be in the game in the first place, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I found this game offensive.
Yeah, turgid.
Bernd Leno wasn't offensive, was he?
No, he had a good game. And I think
he was
also,
phenomenal.
He was. Yeah. He was excellent. And actually,
isn't that one of the hallmarks of a shit game?
Yeah, very much
so. I suggest, though, that...
he doesn't catch it enough?
I felt, I don't know, maybe this is just me, Jim, but I felt like Leno, this is with Martinez going, and I felt it was a bit of a shame for Martinez, because I think he was, you know, I think he could have...
taken a claim, absolutely.
Taken a huge claim for that number one jersey, but obviously they believe in Leno, and I suppose I wanted to see a little bit more proof to sort of back that up, and I thought last night he provided that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they believe in Leno, but they also needed 20 million quid for someone who last year would have got you nowhere near that.
Yeah.
Because the money got come from somewhere.
It was a great time to sell it.
Exactly, yeah. And it might have even been a bit of a problem. It would have been a narrative all season, wouldn't it? And you'd had that with Lehmann and Almunia before, and I don't think... people talk about competition for places among goalkeepers being good, but I don't know if that's actually the case. But the argument made for Martinez over Leno is what I alluded to before, which is that he doesn't catch it enough. He does punch it out quite a lot, but he is a very, very good shot stopper as well. And he was a game changer yesterday. So there's this weird narrative that has come up around Leno, which is that he's not that good because Martinez proved to be good, which I think is nonsense and hopefully will be banished by that performance. But my takeaway from the game was Ainsley Maitland-Niles' penalty.
Yeah. Oh, man.
How
he's a brilliant penalty taker.
This is why he's in the England squad, right? He's got to be in there to just casually laugh at the concept of pressure in a penalty shootout.
Yeah, I can remember... I mean, how old is he? 23 now or something?
Something like that.
I can remember him taking three penalties... And one of them was a Panenka.
Yeah.
And one was last night where he had a little grin afterwards. He is ice in his veins, man.
It's so
ice cold. Do you know what he's got? Fire in the belly, head in the freezer. That's what he's got.
That's what we'll need later, Jim.
And huge shout-outs for do you know what I love? I love seeing it's shitty weather, the weather's about to turn, and the evenings are getting dark.
Storm Alex.
Was that what it was?
Storm Alex, I think.
Storm Alex, the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I believe you. You've got no reason to meteorologically lie to me.
Uh-huh. Not
James Milner playing fullback in a League Cup game midweek.
Yeah.
I'll do it, Gaffer. No problem. And I'll put a shift in as well.
Yeah.
He's actually decent.
And he stuck his penalty away. Of course he did. He's a very reliable penalty.
Oh,
exactly.
Absolutely.
But going back to the punch, I know we've got loads of stuff to get through today, but very, very quickly, if I may... there is a rationale behind why keepers punch rather than catch. Mm. You know, I think some of the thought process is they're foreign.
Yeah.
No, some of the thought process is that you know, that if you go to catch, you might drop it. If you go to catch it and you drop it, you're going to drop it close to your
body. Especially on an evening like last night.
Exactly. If you punch it, you're going to get more distance on it. You can set up an attack quicker.
Yeah.
There's a rationale to it. The thing I don't like about it is that you can either be for a goalkeeper punching or against it if you want, but don't be against it because you think it's just a foreign goalkeeper who can't catch, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it depends on the situation, doesn't it? There are going to be times where it is, as you say, because you can start an attack, it's more appropriate to the way your team plays football to just get the ball back in play as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really have any worries about Leno as a goalkeeper. It's weird that narrative has come up.
But it's great for Arsenal to go through against Liverpool. I mean, again, people can...
To literally squeeze through.
Yes. Well, you've got to do it, haven't you? They take on Manchester City, of course, in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Great.
Spurs have been chucked a bone, haven't they, in the draw?
Who have they got?
Stoke.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Stoke. They beat Aston Villa. Fair play to them.
Yeah.
By the way, talking of penalty shootouts, a quick mench. One of the best penalty shootouts I've ever seen last night.
Yeah.
Rio Ave against Milan.
I think it's important.
It was unbelievable. If you haven't seen everything. This, if yeah. you haven't, I can't. There was a Panenka the goalkeepers took. Mm. It went all the way back round.
Yeah,
two.
Don't spoiler. Too late.
Okay. well, I won't tell
don't
you.
Say who wins. Don't say who wins.
Well, the side who went through, you know, who were playing in black and white. No, black and red, sorry. I even tried that. Milan went through, of course. They went, I think it was 9-8.
Yeah, that's
on
good.
Penalties.
Weren't there two Panenkas?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there
definitely
was,
one.
Yeah, there was definitely one. It went all the way through to the goalkeepers, and Donnarumma, just before he took his, he got a big hand to it, and he was absolutely gutted that he missed. He didn't save it. He then blazes his penalty over the bar, and he thinks, "Oh my goodness, I'm the fall guy." The other goalkeeper takes his. He puts his over the bar as well. Yeah. Then there was another match point where Rio Ave, the guy, hit the post. It hit off Donnarumma, hit the other post,
and came out again.
Oh my god! One of the greatest penalties I've ever seen. Absolutely phenomenal entertainment.
There will be several people listening to this who have downloaded this show today and are listening to it on a Friday afternoon at work while pretending to do work. Mm-hmm. We see you.
Yeah.
Go and watch that.
Oh, yeah. It's an
watch that at the
treat.
Same time.
It is an absolute treat. You mentioned Saka getting into the England squad. Of course, that's announced for the games against Wales, Belgium, of course, and Denmark. Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Mm. Big Dommy CL getting in there.
DCL.
I think we're very pleased with that. He's been brilliant this season.
Richly deserved. Yeah, he's been fantastic, hasn't he?
He's just got really goals has. In it. Where were those goals?
I think I read something interesting yesterday about how they've slightly changed. I'll probably get this wrong because I'm not a tactical expert, but they kind of changed how Ancelotti's changed his role slightly, where he's playing with like Richarlison and Rodriguez, mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. playing slightly different roles. One's more advanced, one's more deeper, and it's playing to Calvert-Lewin's hands, and they get a lot more balls in the box.
Yeah.
And Ancelotti is, I think, has focused a lot on Calvert-Lewin scoring goals with just one touch and being like properly instinctive. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, to be fair to him, he's improved a little bit. He was improving before Ancelotti came along, but now he seems to have really benefited from Ancelotti the same way he benefited from, was it Duncan Ferguson beforehand, mm-hmm, I think, who gave him his little, I don't know if he gave him his break, but kind of helped to improve mm-hmm. him before. I think he's an outstanding prospect because he always looked like he could do all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just whether he could add goals to his game. Yep. And now he has. That goal he scored against West Ham, was the first goal? That's a beauty.
Well, he's poaching goals now,
absolute
isn't he,
beauty.
In a way he wasn't before.
Mm-hmm. I'm delighted for him.
Well, Everton have needed, you know, a goal scorer. They're a side who have had some sort of goal scorers for a bit. You can't really think. I don't want to do Everton, you know, I don't want to do them down here. But if you think about, you know, great goal scorers and people have scored a lot of goals, you don't think of forwards that have played for Everton in recent years. Now, I'm sure I'm missing someone there. So again, apologies. But to have a guy who's the focal point and to put the ball in the net and so on and so forth.
It's not since Lukaku, really.
Yeah, it would be Lukaku, I think. That's what sprung to mind for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't think of that many, I suppose. But also, do you know what I like? He seems like a bloody lovely lad as well.
Yeah, he seems great.
He really does. He's very wide-eyed. He's loving his football at the moment. So, I mean, anybody would be under Ancelotti, some of these people.
There's still there as well, though.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think the one thing for me that I think is a little bit unfortunate for him is the type of profile of player he is. Is he really offering anything that's that different from what Harry Kane gives you?
He's a very different player to Kane.
Do you think?
Yeah, a very different player to Kane. You know, Kane now is sort of dropping deep. And Kane's the number one because he works so well with Sterling and whoever the other wing would be, Sancho or something like that. The way that front three, if it is a front three that England play, and we think against Belgium, he might deploy a back three again. But
well, it looks like he trained for that one in the Denmark game.
Yeah.
So you'd be surprised if he wouldn't do the same thing.
Well,
right?
if you think of for how free scoring Belgium are and England are sort of looking a little bit shaky at the moment. But Kane's a very different forward, whereas I think, you know, Ings would be number two, but you need another player there. And he's young as well, Calvert-Lewin, and he's improving all the time. And I'm also pleased Harvey Barnes is in there because he's had a great season
well earned so far.
A great start. The problems, Marcus, are defensive, though.
Yeah, I know.
The problems are that, you know, I mean, he's at least picked a couple of players who can play left back. I think three of them now. If you obviously got Chilwell in there, if you take into account Maitland-Niles and Saka have both played on the left kind of recently, there's options there now because there wasn't an option at all in the last squad.
I think he would look at them as wing backs more.
He would do. He'd have to. But I worry about that, and I worry about England's pace at centre back. Mm. That's my fear.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you're saying that Saka and Maitland-Niles are wing-backs, and it kind of further adds fuel to your theory that you might play three at the back, mm-hmm. particularly with the lack of pace in the defensive centre-back. So you can have three to a bit of cover there. So, look, England have got a good squad. They've got a promising squad. We have to work on these alternatives to Harry Kane as well, because Harry Kane's someone who's picking up injuries on a fairly regular basis now, and they can be quite debilitating injuries as well, to his ankles particularly. So we need options for when Kane's not available. Mm-hmm. So look, I don't know if we'll use these games as a training ground for that in preparation to build up for the Euros next year. I certainly hope he does, because for me, although the Nations League is a nice to have, the Euros is the most important thing. Yeah,
get Vardy back in there.
Well, I mean, the thing is... It,
Vardy, Barnes and Madison. But is, come on!
But is Vardy good because he's not doing this?
Yeah,
he's not being called up to England squads. I mean,
we've seen
in the same way that Milner was able to exchange, and some other players...
You have parachute them in for the tournament.
It's always works.
It's
always
fair
works.
On the youngsters.
And it should be an actual parachute as well.
Yeah.
Although Dominic Calvert-Lewin, he did score a winning goal for England in a World Cup final not that long ago.
Yeah,
so,
true.
You know, let's not forget that. Moving on, gentlemen, the Champions League draw happened yesterday. Manchester United finally been drawn in a tough group.
Well, I got a lot of stick for that, for saying that on Twitter yesterday.
But I think you're right.
Well, I think traditionally...
They usually get quite a nice one.
Yeah, traditionally, who did they get last year? Juventus.
I
think they got Juventus last year. But generally, last year they got Juventus and Valencia, but they went through second. I think generally speaking, it has been a traditional thing where United have got a easy draw. But I think with Leipzig, PSG and Basaksehir here, that's a tough ask.
It is, but do you think that, I mean, Manchester United were in the Champions League for, you know, regularly maybe back in the day and so on. I mean, if you take someone like Chelsea who have been in there, you know, Chelsea have got Sevilla, Krasnodar and Rennes, which you would take all day long, no disrespect. I mean, Sevilla, obviously, Europa League champions and no mugs. But Liverpool in there with Ajax, Atalanta and Midtjylland. I mean, that's a tricky one. You know, we know what Atalanta are capable of. But you would fancy Liverpool to get the better of that one.
Yeah.
I just picked a random year, 2009-10 Champions League. Man United got CSK, Moscow, Wolfsburg and Besiktas.
Yeah, tricky. Yeah.
But that would be because...
Even Michael Owen got a hat-trick in that group.
But that would be because they're in the top...
Of course, I know. But you're still going to get it, though.
2011, I mean, Valencia, Rangers and Bursaspor.
I mean,
no, go on, defend that, Jim.
It's not like they won it, though, is it?
No, but I mean, the reason that they get, you know, what some might call an easy draw is because they avoid the other top sides because they're drawn out the same pot.
Sure, and I think Manchester City have now got to a stage where they're getting easier draws, but before they've had it really tough.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, I understand what you mean. I mean,
Benfica, Basel, and a Romanian team that I can't even pronounce.
I mean, you say that the Bayern are the champions and they're with Atletico Madrid, so it doesn't always work out that way. Or a Red Bull, Salzburg, and Lokomotiv Moscow too. But
I think if you're Bayern, though, you'll take anything.
You would. Nice to see Juventus and Barcelona.
Yeah.
What do you think? How will that game be billed, do you think? Do you think that...
I don't know.
Is there a narrative there?
Marcus, is there some sort of narrative we could be possibly...
Galatasaray, Cluj and Braga. These are all actual Champions League groups that Manchester United have got.
Bloody hell.
So I'm just putting it out there. I wasn't listening to any of your other questions, so if you want to repeat them, that'd be fantastic.
It's Messi v Ronaldo.
Great.
Yeah,
there we are. That's all you got to know.
Yeah.
And then we'll be on to the knockout rounds in a number of months.
I haven't had a chance to talk about how funny it was when Messi kicked off about Luis Suarez leaving Barcelona.
Oh, yeah. What did he
say? He was like, oh, that's all put in the past now. I don't want to go for a court case with him, you know, so I'll stay. You know, let's get on with the football. You know, let's get on with the quiz. Yeah. And then Suarez leaves. It's a disgrace how I treated him. Just waiting with his finger hovering over the tweet button.
He's piping up all the time.
Oh,
now,
yeah, it's great.
Didn't expect
they're not going to get rid of him.
Well, quite.
I think it's all good. It's lovely to see.
What do you anticipate from the Messi-Ronaldo showdown? That's going to be a tedious narrative.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah. I have no idea, but I think Juventus, obviously they got Ronaldo to try and get them in over the line in the Champions League. Barcelona are not what they were, although old Ronnie Koeman could turn them into a right old force.
God, I mean, if Juventus play this right, they could absolutely thrash Barca.
Yeah.
I mean... The whole talk of them being in disarray is very much off the pitch, isn't it? Like, so, you know, as you've pointed out,
it feels a bit like a punishment that Barcelona is still in the Champions League against good teams.
Yeah.
How low can you sink, Barcelona?
But, I mean, we say that, but they've still got players like Antoine Griezmann there. Messi's obviously still there.
No,
as you've pointed out yourself, Marcus.
Ansu Fati looks a world beater at 17.
Exactly. This is perhaps being a little bit overblown, so maybe it won't.
Yeah, and they've won their first two games in the Liga.
But that said, it would be funny if, like, imagine if Ronaldo just dominates them, gets like four goals.
Yeah.
Like,
does the old celebration. I mean, I'll finish by saying simply this, Marcus. Bayer Leverkusen, Shakhtar Donetsk and Real Sociedad.
I was about to say, well, that's quite tricky. In the context of it, that is quite a tough one. But you would take it all day long, of course.
Mm. Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah. So now they're in Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, my mentions are going to be absolutely fucked this weekend. Man United fans taking them to task. Oh dear.
Bollocks to them.
Do you know, right. do you know what group they got in 2014-15?
You're going to tell us?
They weren't in it.
Yay! But now they are, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go for a quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hello, I am Sven-Goran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
There it is,
ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. That was, of course, friend of the show and the stars and the ladies, Sven-Göran Eriksson.
In that order. No, the opposite order.
Oh, dear. Right, everybody, it's time for some emails. Still no jingle. No word on the jingle from
Donaldson's been made promises that weren't kept, yeah. Apparently. But it'll be on its way at some point.
Oh, you'd hope so.
I think you'll get it for the last week of the season.
Trust is a two-way street.
And he can't drive.
Of course, the email address is show@footballramble.com. We've got an email here from JP Vwolake. I think that's pronounced. Surely there is no drinking game more dangerous than watching Burnley matches with no crowd noise and drinking when Sean Dyche uses the F word. Well, yeah,
You'd have to have ears that can pick up a certain frequency to get the bass in it, though.
The gravel frequency.
You'd have to use the...
F off. Come on, you fucking pricks. Jim, do a Sean Dyche impression.
That's not Sean Dyche.
That's a terror hawk.
You're better than that.
It's the same. You're better than that. You don't know what I was having him saying. That's him yawning.
Yeah.
That's him waking up in the morning.
Also, Marcus, Jim's not better than that.
No, I'm absolutely not. I will absolutely
do the rest of the email like Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
No, I won't be able to. I'll be ruined for the rest of the show.
All right.
You would also get massively inebriated if you drank every time the match commentator apologises for the language.
Yeah, so we are hearing a lot of this.
That happens too much now.
Oh, it's so boring. It's genuinely, is anybody actually bothered, upset, or offended by that? I suppose there are people watching with kids around, but like, come on.
I think it's an Ofcom requirement.
Right.
The reason I say that is because you can watch. A brutal boxing match at midnight on TV on pay-per-view where they're beating 10 bells out of each other. Yeah. The most, you know, it's violent. And if they hear a bit of swearing in the corner in between rounds, the commentator always says, apologies if you're offended by the language. Yeah. I think Ofcom make them do it.
Right.
But it's getting to the point now. I watched a game the other day where, I mean, he must have said it about 8 times during the game. And it's like, can you just say it at the beginning?
Why not flash something up on the screen so this commentator doesn't have to worry about it?
Saying, get fucked.
Everyone just mind their language. I have to say.
Imagine that. A little message about language you're going to hear on this show.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
Grow up. Grow up.
So, Jim, what are you going to say about Dodgy?
Burnley is similar to Sheffield United. I don't really necessarily want to lump them in together, but when you listen to those games without the commentary or without the fake crowd noise, it sounds like a pub car park fight.
Mm. Yeah.
Then we're just going, yeah! Get
it! It's amazing the amount of phrases you hear that you hear in Sunday League as well. Isn't it?
Like, it's really reassuring, this, actually.
Yeah, it is.
When you, because for some reason, I think when you think that footballers will interact differently and managers will say different things because you can't believe that your own ability is so much poorer than actual footballers. But sort of natural ability and training will do that. But it's a bit like when you watch those sort of Amazon documentaries. I remember watching the Brazil one with Chichi in the Copa America with the Brazil side, or even Guardiola or Mourinho, of course. And the stuff they're saying to get the players up for it is the stuff that you've heard kind of before. And you think, well, of course, like what other combination
what other
of
elite
words?
Kind of you know like encouragement is there that we wouldn't be able to comprehend?
I wonder whether though you might get some kind of agreement with the makers of these documentaries where they won't show the detail.
Oh yeah, there's definitely that. Yeah.
Because we've seen in, over the years. I remember when Mourinho was an opposition scout for a team when he first started out in management, and it was when he was at Barcelona, I believe, and there was a report leaked when they were about to play Newcastle in the Champions League, which dates hit, and it was the detail was incredible.
Yeah.
So I think they are capable of the amazing detail, but I do think there's that old adage which is that you don't want to overload players with information before a game, so maybe it's all about motivation. But for me, during the game, you can hear a lot more now. Every time a corner's swung in, goalkeeper, you can hear him shout, away!
Yeah,
and it's so basic, but I guess it's just...
Well, what else are they going to shout?
And I suppose no one's under any illusion if they're a defensive player defending a corner. They need to get the ball away.
I
like it because it kind of is a bit... It's one in the eye for all these like really detail-heavy statistics guys because at one level, that's really important and we should embrace that. But on another level, yeah, a lot of it just comes down to human beings, right?
Yeah.
And trying to not make mistakes.
It's been interesting being able to hear the microphones by the goalkeepers as well. Kasper Schmeichel was giving some instruction in the Man City game, and Sky played it back, and it was really interesting to hear him hear him sort of screaming at his defenders. It's the same thing, but it was a nice insight into just to hear what goes on in a football match. And as you say, it's not like they're going, "Oi, oi! There are boxes within boxes, and boxes are special box." It's just away, isn't it?
I remember that before all this COVID stuff happened, I remember way back in the day, there was a protest outside the Nou Camp, and there were no fans allowed in the game at the Nou Camp. And it was basically the microphone was just picking up 90 minutes of Luis Suarez berating Lionel Messi, but not passing to him over and over again.
And
it was translated. And I think at one point, Luis Suarez says to Messi something like, "Don't call for it if you don't want it."
Yeah.
To Lionel Messi.
It's
so good. I think, but if I was a footballer, if I was a team, like, I would just say, right, lads, let's really mess with the viewers here. Let's just shout stuff, like, yeah, you know, like the ball's coming, right.
Yeah.
Peel the banana. Fish.
Exactly. You get booked for trying to put a player off, don't you? When they've got the ball, you can't say you can't kind of jump into when they've got the ball.
You can shout, like, you know.
You can't call for the ball when your opposition number's got it, though. It's a sin as unsportsmanlike.
No, but conduct. You could shout, you know, mash the potatoes or something.
Yeah, if you wanted, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Why not? Yeah,
just talk nonsense. People go, "Oh my goodness, this is a right insight into the game." Yeah. You're just messing with everybody.
Wasn't it Des Walker who used to? Was it Ian Wright? It was known for, like, sledging, wasn't he? But apparently Des Walker would kind of had his number quite often, and if he would, like, tackle him or whatever, he'd then explain what he'd just done to him.
That's right.
Like, it was like post-match analysis.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think, Ian Wright said that, and Sol Campbell's the other one who used to blank him.
Did he?
He said he could never wind up Sol Campbell.
Right.
He would try and sledge away, and he said Sol Campbell was just bulletproof, and he said it would really wind him up.
I've sledged myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Amazing.
Oh, dear. Oh, just on that, Michael Dewberry once said that he, when he first made it into the game, and I think he was probably playing for Chelsea, he saw Ian Wright, and he was like, Ian Wright was his idol, and he was like marking him at a corner, and he was like quite starry-eyed looking at him, and Ian Wright looked at him and went, "What the fuck are you looking at, you so-and-so?" Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, back in.
I love that, yeah. I love that. It's just what I needed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, dear. Right, anyway, show at footballramble.com for more of that.
And hopefully one day we'll get a jingle. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely.
People get on it.
It would be very nice indeed. This weekend, gentlemen, the Premier League is back, of course. Leeds United host Manchester City. Or to put it another way, Pep Guardiola is going to Marcelo Bielsa's house and will be very excited about that.
Oh, yeah, he's there now. He's in the car park. Has he got a car park in his house? In the driveway, sorry.
Yeah. He does, yeah.
He lives in like a bungalow, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's a very small kind of house with a little driveway because everyone was standing outside, weren't they, when they got promoted.
I think Guardiola... I think if Leeds beat Manchester City, Guardiola will take enormous consolation.
It's a win-win.
By going, yeah, go on, talk me through it. Talk me through how you beat us.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, they have faced each other...
Des Walker me. Yeah.
They have faced each other three times before, and Guardiola's got the better of him. But, I mean, he wasn't... Well, I suppose you could argue here he's managing a superior side. Did you know that while playing for Roma, Guardiola was told by Gabriel Batistuta, the great Batigol, if you want to be a coach, you have to get together with this guy. And that guy was Bielsa.
I mean, it's the only notable thing that happened to Pep Guardiola at Roma, because he was only there for like 5 minutes. Yeah. I actually, you know, put myself out here. I'll get hammered all weekend for it. But I think maybe I'll get Man United fans back on side, actually, by saying,
cancel it out.
I quite fancy Leeds here. I think Manchester City have got defensive problems. They're going to, as we heard a little bit yesterday from the guys, Ruben Dias is going to, the Portuguese Robert Dias is going to come in.
Yep.
And play in. And, you know, he looks a great player. He looks very tough, but it's going to be a new environment for him. And he's expected, I believe, to go straight into the team. And Leeds' tails are up. Leeds are looking all right. And they've got this system that's settled. They know what they're doing. I'd fancy them massively if it was a pumping Elland Road. The fact there's no fans won't make it as straightforward for them. But I'll tell you what, I think Leeds have got a really good chance.
Also, Jack Harrison is on loan from City, isn't he? So presumably,
I don't think he's going to play.
That is a big miss.
But you are forgetting that thing when Manchester City, when they get a poor result and then they take it out on someone.
True.
Yeah.
And they have just been battered by Leicester City, and Manchester City are a very good side with lots of good players. We shouldn't forget that. I think because of how they acquired a lot of those players and the money that they've got and so on, much has been obviously talked about that and so on. Because any club who's got loads and loads of money and has won a lot of trophies recently, you know, people will always want to see them get knocked off their perch.
Definitely.
And I think people are very keen to see that to happen to Manchester City. And after obviously what happened at Leicester, against Leicester, and, you know, they've been not doing as well of late. And Guardiola, who... You know, just they looked phenomenal, of course, when they did that domestic treble. They looked almost untouchable. I know Liverpool were close, but Manchester City still won the league then. And people are thinking, this guy Guardiola is just going to dominate the landscape. And of course, when you see a few chinks in the armour, people very much relish that. But you can suddenly forget, oh, yeah, he's done, they're gone, see you later, bye. They're still a very good football team with lots of good players.
But they got out their system against Burnley midweek, didn't they? Played quite a strong team, 3-0. So, no, I think everything you said there, Marcus, is absolutely true. And I just think it'll be a very interesting game. It's a nice Saturday tea time treat, isn't it?
Mm.
I think Leeds have got a chance. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, they've got a chance. You know, I mean, we saw the way they set up against Liverpool that opening day. They looked very attacking, exciting. You know, they were unlucky not to beat the champions.
Because for me, it's a case of, and this might be a bit too simplistic, but for me, it's a case of, if you go up against Man City as a promoted team, mm-hmm. and you say we're going to do these banks of players and we're going to try and make it tough for them, and we're going to basically say, do you know what? And no one would ever admit this, but they're basically going to say, if we get out of this with a 1-0 defeat, we'll take that, mm-hmm. because it hasn't damaged our confidence. We didn't expect to get anything out of it. We'll move on. Leeds won't do that.
No, not at all.
They won't have that in their locker. So Manchester City are defensively frail.
Mm-hmm.
So it should make for a high-scoring, entertaining game, and I wouldn't be bowled over surprised if Leeds United got something out of the game. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and you wouldn't imagine Guardiola would make too many plans for what they're doing. He would probably play his own game, and you understand why he would do that, because his game plan, normally if it works, it works very, very well. But we saw what...
He'll overthink it because it's Bielsa, won't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Bielsa being the details man. I mean, there are, even from our position, I can see some flaws in Man City's defence. I'm not maybe the same sort of football brain as Bielsa, but I reckon, you know, he might have a few ideas how to exploit that.
The players are going to turn up. Mm. Guardiola will already be there in the dressing room reading Marcelo Bielsa's autobiography.
Yep.
And he'll end up playing a 7-1-2 formation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it will go madly wrong, and Leeds will win like 5-0.
Yeah. They'll try and like just face their own goal, just play with back heels.
Yeah.
No one's done that before. He won't know what to expect.
It'd be a bit poor though from a Man City point of view if Leeds like scored in a lovely move and Guardiola leaves a technical error to give Bielsa a high five.
Yeah. Would that be COVID compliant?
No, of course
maybe
not.
Maybe an elbow bump.
Let's be honest, Guardiola's not going to do that. Let's be absolutely clear.
It wouldn't be the most surprising thing I've ever seen.
But do tune in just in case he does.
Or how good would it be if all the teams come out and then there was no Guardiola and he emerged from the tunnel with his arm around Nathan Redmond? The WWE type.
Yeah.
That's Nathan Redmond's music.
Oh, dearie me. It is a Jose Mourinho derby on the weekend, of
course. There's many of them.
What is the Jose Mourinho derby? Probably Chelsea-Inter, would you say?
Chelsea-Real Madrid. Maybe Chelsea-Inter,
But there is a few. Yes, Manchester United hosting Tottenham Hotspur, of course. As you mentioned, Spurs triumphantly going through in the Europa League, or into the Europa League, to be more accurate. This game is, of course, at 4:30 on Sunday. A nice Sunday afternoon treat, of course.
Yeah. Some good games. I mean, to be honest, last weekend the games weren't amazing on paper. This weekend it's definitely a lot more interesting,
mm-hmm.
I think.
The focus is often on Mourinho, and today is no exception. He sort of seemed to be having a little bit of needle with Gareth Southgate.
It's not his name though, is it? What do they call him?
My friend Gary.
But does he just think that Gary is short for Gareth? It's not an unreasonable bit of logic.
No, it isn't. Come on.
Yeah.
Nobody.
For a moment there, I was like, oh, maybe he does. And then I remembered who we're talking about.
Yeah,
he knows exactly what he's doing, every moment of every day.
He also had a photo of him when he put his thumb through his eye at the same time. He basically said...
Did he ever refer to Sir Alex as Ali Ferguson? Big Al Ferguson.
No, he always called
Big
him
Ek.
Boss, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He loved
what if someone's Ferguson. Calling David Moyes Dave Moyes? I spoke to Dave.
You call him David Moyes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, fair enough. More respectful.
Indeed.
I think that I found the exchange quite interesting because he says the usual thing that you see top club managers say to international managers, don't play my best players in friendlies, it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mourinho's just a bit more forthright in that.
Mm.
And then Gareth Southgate came back and said, well, it works both ways. Mm. I don't want you to be playing Harry Kane 55 games this season so he's knackered by the Euros, because that 55 million people are interested in that. It's quite an interesting exchange, but it's something that Gareth Southgate hasn't really had to navigate that much, because I think he's got quite a good reputation of dealing with the clubs quite well.
Well,
and that's not always been the case, has it?
No, I mean, you're right. In the press, he hasn't had to deal with it. I'm sure he probably has behind the scenes. You know, it's never going to be that straightforward. I mean, I thought he dealt with it really well, Southgate. Again, he just seems to be very, very good in front of the press or in front of the cameras, whatever you want to call it. And he just seemed to sort of diffuse it and go, yeah, okay, come on, that's fine. It works both ways, sort of thing. Mm. Speaking of that, though, you remember we spoke to old Sven? He once hung up on Alex Ferguson, didn't he, that time? And Ferguson was like, you're not taking Rooney to the World Cup, you're not doing this. And the Man United doctor was like, he's absolutely crocked. You mean you can understand why he thought that.
Yeah.
And then Sven turned up with the England doctor and he was like, no, I think he's fine to play. And it was all a big hoo-ha. And he phoned up Ericsson, and Ericsson was just like, I can't remember what he said, but he was just like, Alex, you know, I'm not, your spell's not going to work on me or something, and just went, I'm taking him, and hung up on Ferguson. Apparently Ferguson
makes me nervous even hearing about that.
I can't imagine, when I heard Sven say that, I thought, I can't imagine him being so ruthless.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's, Sven is not, and Southgate's a bit like that. I don't think they'll tackle stuff like head on, like butt heads. It's all about the sidestep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to play it, especially with someone like Mourinho. You don't want to get in a war of words with Mourinho. I mean, yeah. Benitez knows how that way pans out. You know?
And Dele Alli's not on the squad, is he, for England? He didn't make it in, did he, I don't think.
No.
Beautiful bit of skill from him last night to win that penalty.
To win that penalty, that was amazing, yeah. So I'm interested in what happens with Dele Alli at Spurs, because he makes an impression last night when he comes on, but he's not. He's missed out on a couple of teams recently, so be interested to see how he gets on.
I was thinking about Dele Alli. Like he strikes me as the type of guy. Now, I don't know. This is just my opinion. There's no intel there, or never met him or anything like that. And it's very difficult to talk about someone else's sort of personality type and so on if you're not that familiar with them. But I just wonder with Dele Alli, like, the way, you know, you saw in that Amazon documentary and things that have been written and said and so on, Mourinho's like trying to get in there and get a tune out of him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's the type of guy that wants man management. I think he wants to be just sort of left alone to his own devices.
More of an instinctive kind of player.
That's true on the pitch as well, isn't it?
You know,
he's somebody who needs that kind of... he's at his best when he is just creatively expressing himself and just coming up with solutions rather than fitting into a rigid system. So it's an interesting sort of clash of philosophies.
But I think off the field, Jim, you know, Mourinho will think like managers do, right, I'll be the one, I'll go in there and I'll talk to him, and he made an example of him in front of the lads, or just a little comment and so on. I think Alli just, my take would be, he's the type of guy that goes, piss off.
Yeah,
I don't get lost, and therefore he'll be demotivated and so on and so forth. Now I understand it's not all one way. You know, he's a footballer and he has to do his bit, but I don't see the working relationship between those.
Can
two
I just
would
take
be
this,
my prediction?
Can I just take this opportunity to apologise for any bad language that anyone may have ever heard?
Yeah, there was a bit earlier on, wasn't there? I got involved.
The problem is you've got to do it beforehand, really, if you can. You don't want to be like Kelly Cates having to apologise for Patrice Evra. Yeah.
God.
Bless her, Kelly. God. She's great. I think PSG had a loan request turned down for her, didn't they?
Yeah. It was a really low fee, wasn't it? Which makes sense. Something like 1.5 million. And I know that for a loan, like, the loan fees are seem to be a relatively new thing, don't they? But that does seem low, in that context.
I'll say now what I said either earlier this week or last week, that, you know, Dele Alli, for me, looks like he needs a move. Mm. I think that kind of builds on what you're saying there, Marcus. Maybe he just needs a bit of a
fresh start. Mourinho's not the right coach for him, I don't think.
And secondly, if he wants to make an impact at PSG, he's got to improve.
Yeah.
He's going to, if he doesn't improve, he is going to spend the entirety of his time alone on the bench at PSG.
And that's good to say, because as I'm saying this, it sounds like poor old Dele Alli and Mourinho's the bad guy. I don't think his approach would be right. But as I say, Ali's got to pull his socks up. He would benefit. I mean, obviously, he won't go to Everton, but a coach like Ancelotti, something like that. You know, a bit of freedom, play. You know, everyone says he's a nice guy, very cordial, blah blah blah. But he will be firm, and he'll get a tune out of players. But anyway, we shall see how
we'll see what happens,
goes on. It's now time for Four to Score. Everybody.
It is now indeed time for Betway's Four to Score. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free each week. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. A reminder to make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. And further T's and C's apply. So people listening along, go and have a go at it if you're over 18. It's lots of fun, completely free to play. It makes the weekend all the more interesting, and you've got a chance to win £50,000 as well. Okay, there's four games. Game one, as ever, game one is Arsenal v Sheffield United on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And our friend Andy has got the pick for this one.
Hello team, Andy here. Looking forward to Arsenal versus Sheffield United. Now, picking a first scorer here, I think should be pretty straightforward, because Sheffield United have done the world's earliest ever Lenten given up scoring goals. Aubameyang is a too obvious choice. So I think we go for the man who scores, even when he's not trying to score at the moment. Good Leon boy, it's got to be... Na 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 na. Alex Lacazette, Alex Lacazette. You know it's going to be him. So yeah, he's my choice. Cheers.
Who could have seen that one coming?
Not me.
Who could have seen Andy Brassel of all people, picking an ex-Leon player as his first goal scorer? So Alex Lacazette for Arsenal v Sheffield United. Game two is the great Jim Campbell. You've got Wolves v Fulham, also at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Jim.
And also, I've gone for, well, I say also, Andy's made the point of not doing this. I've gone for what might be an obvious choice, not just because of our own history with him, but I think Raul Jimenez. I did think maybe Ruben Neves. They'll probably get a lot of, they'll probably have a lot of set piece opportunities, but I think he will bully that Fulham defence.
Do you not think Fulham will score first?
No, I do not. Right. I don't think they'll score at all, Marcus.
All right, that'll be awesome.
The unwritten rule of Betway's Ford to score here on Football Ramble is that if you get a chance to pick Raul Jimenez, you've got to pick Raul Jimenez, because if you don't, the bastard will score.
Yes. Yeah.
Game three, Man United v Spurs is mine. I had Patrick Bamford last week, so yeah. I'm off the mark.
Well done, pal.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, very
well,
good.
Well done to Patrick.
Yeah.
We celebrated by playing violins together on Zoom. Sunday 4:30, Man United Spurs. We've already talked about it. I'm going to go for Bruno Fernandes. I think he might just get a penalty.
Penno.
Yeah, so I've gone for him. Game four, Marcus, is you. You've got Aston Villa v Liverpool on Sunday night. Oh, it's Sunday night, 7:15.
How about that?
Lovely stuff. Who have you gone for?
Mo Salah, running down the wing and then scoring the first goal.
So, okay, so just Mo Salah,
yeah.
Thanks.
So a Brassel sang and I thought I'd get in the
Fair
spirit
enough.
Of it.
Yeah.
It's too late, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
7:15 on a Sunday night, it's too late.
What are you normally doing on a Sunday night?
I'm hibernating at that point. Now the winter's drawn in.
Fight off
I've
the
already,
Sunday night blues,
I've rolled up into a duvet.
Yeah, true.
Winter's not here, it's autumn.
It's on the way.
It's on the way, Marcus.
Watch this space,
well,
I promise
technically
you.
Technically, summer's on the way, isn't it?
Okay, to sum up, before this goes awry, Betway's four to score picks this week. Alex Lacazette in Arsenal v Sheffield United. Raul Jimenez in Wolves v Fulham. Bruno Fernandes in Man United v Spurs. And Mo Salah in Aston Villa v Liverpool. Make sure your selections, if you're going to play along, are submitted before the first game. Further teas and C's apply, 18 plus, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. That was Betway's four to score. Now this is Luke's game. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed, it is Luke's game. Jim Campbell, welcome to the arena.
Thanks.
For the first time, I believe, this season.
I think it is the first time this season, yeah.
Should we assume that it is just for fun?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Do you want to tell us who you are and a bit about yourself?
So, I'm Jim. I'm actually just a work experience guy here.
Yeah.
But I just sat down one day, nobody stopped me, and 13 years later, here we are.
Actually, very, very accurate. More accurate than people would think. Jim, welcome along. You're a new player. Marcus is an old hand at this. Marcus, you've had a mixed season so far, a couple of sort of hallmark victories, but you've found yourself up against the number one seed quite a lot, and it's been tough for you, but your confidence hasn't been diminished by that.
No, it hasn't been. I'm still plucky Tiger Tim Henman.
Still Marcus Mound outside the studio, full of people socially distanced supporting you. It's going to be lots of fun. So I name the player, the guys auction and bid for the amount of clubs they can name. No repetition, no wrong answers. They have to have played for the team professionally, made an appearance, of course. For example, we always use Jim, just in case you're unfamiliar, because it's been so long. If Robbie Savage, for example, was chosen as a player, Manchester United wouldn't count, because although he tells everyone he played for them, he never actually made a first team appearance for them.
So it's first team appearance in any competition?
Believe so.
Like competitive, not like...
Yeah, competitive.
Yeah.
I thought you were off cop.
Yeah, FAU cut doesn't count.
No,
Robbie, Jim, you're going to go first because you're the new player. It's a best of five as ever. Can you just tell me before you start what you need to be successful in this game?
I think you need a.
He's not listening to
you
it.
Need
has
to
he?
Be nah. comp-
Fire in the belly, head in the freezer.
Right.
Here we go. Your first player, Jim. Your first. He's played for six clubs. Mm-hmm. He retired in 2007. You've heard a lot of him recently.
Oh, you have.
It's Chris Sutton.
Chris Sutton.
Yeah. And as ever, a quick game is a good game here, Jim. Mm-hmm. Six clubs for Chris Sutton. For those who are listening for the first time this season, we have played this game in the past, in previous seasons. Jim has played it. He's been quite good at it, but he's traditionally a very defensive player. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches it.
I'm going to stick to that approach. I can definitely do three. So I'm going to bid three.
Marcus, can I hear four from you? Remember last week you confused Mikel Forsell with Mattia Vidra, which was difficult.
I might confuse Chris Sutton with Alan Shearer. I'll go four then.
Four, okay. Do you want to go five, Jim? Fancy five, or do you want him to name the four?
I've missed an obvious one. Go on, do the four.
Okay, it's four to you, Marcus. One at a time, please, if you don't mind. The clubs that Chris Sutton has played for.
Norwich City.
That's correct.
Blackburn Rovers.
That's also correct.
Chelsea.
Sort of.
Celtic.
Correct.
You want another one I forgot?
Go on.
Blackburn.
Yeah.
That's bad. Played for them more than the other team.
Who's the other two?
So he started at Norwich. Well, you've actually named them in order.
Norwich, no, I did you a favour there. Yeah,
thank you very much. He had a quick stint at Birmingham City.
Ah, do you know what? I knew it was a Birmingham side. I nearly said Villa. I was glad.
Yeah, well, he ended his career at Villa.
Oh, did he? Oh, he did play
that
Villa.
Been fine.
Oh, okay.
That's been fine. Yeah. Okay, so that's 1-0 to Marcus. You're up next, Marcus. He's played for 12 clubs, retired in 2008.
When you hear 12 clubs, your heart sinks in this game.
Does it? Yeah. Surely you've got more chance of getting them.
And more chance of getting them wrong as well.
Andy Cole.
Oh, Gordon.
Andrew Cole,
Andrew
as we must
Cole.
Call him now. Andrew Cole.
Andrew Cole.
12 clubs in total, retired in 2008. His career started in 1989.
Blimey.
1-0 up, Marcus, here, but there's still a lot to play for.
There's an awful lot to play for. I'll go 5.
Jim, do I hear 6 or more from you?
I can't do 6.
So it's 5 to you, Marcus.
Manchester United.
Give you that one.
Manchester City.
Correct.
Newcastle United.
That's correct.
Blackburn Rovers.
That's also correct.
Fulham.
That is correct as well. Very well
Very
played.
Good. I wouldn't have got City there.
Bolton as well?
I'll read you go through. On, if you had said Bolton, you'd have been in big trouble because he started his career at Arsenal.
Mm-hmm. But
he didn't play, did he?
He did. He played once.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Oh, you see, that was... He did play. I stayed away from Arsenal.
He did play.
Okay.
He then moved to Fulham on loan. Then we have Bristol City, Newcastle United, Manchester United, Blackburn, Fulham, Manchester City, Portsmouth, Birmingham City, Sunderland, Burnley and Nottingham Forest.
There you go.
No Bolton.
That's right. Birmingham City, yeah.
Yeah.
Portsmouth, mad.
I know.
The strikers they've had at that club.
I know.
In a very distinct era.
Yeah, don't remember scoring a huge amount of goals. But, Jim, you're up first this time. He's played for 8 clubs. It's 2-0. You need this one or you're gonna lose.
I'm bombing out.
8 clubs in total. Retired in 2015. It's Jonathan Greening. That's what the algorithm threw up. Don't blame me.
Jonathan Greening.
I told you about the process off the record of how it works. It's all fair and above board. Jonathan Greening came up. He's perfectly... We've had him on Ramble Meets. Lovely fella. Had a great career. If you can't name his clubs, that's your problem, not Jono's problem.
I think 4.
That's a great opening bid, I have to say. I mean, the people listening will be delighted to hear that.
They will.
That's a great opening bid, Jim.
Jim could be psyching me out here, but I'd like Jim to name the 4.
All right, Jim. So one at a time, please. 4 clubs that Jono Greening has played
I think
for.
I had 4, actually, but go on.
Go for it.
So, Man United.
That's correct.
West Brom.
That's also correct.
Middlesbrough.
Nice. Correct.
And Fulham.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's great. That's going to give you a lot of confidence.
Middlesbrough, I forgot. York City?
He played. Started at York City and ended at York City as well. So he went York City, Man United, Middlesbrough, West Brom, Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Barnsley, and then York City again.
Well played.
The Ramble Meets with Jono Greening, if I may be so bold, was fantastic.
It was.
Well worth a listen.
That's where I remember the York City.
There you go. So search for that on your podcast feed, Ramble Meets, Jono Greening. A very, very interesting listen. Okay, Marcus, you're up this time. It's 2-1.
Yeah.
He's played for 8 clubs in total, retired in 2003. If you can name all 8, I'll give you the money myself, as we say. It's Lee Sharp.
Lee Sharp.
He of the barbecues.
Yes.
He of the fan club and the barbecues and the Elvis corner flag singing. Lee Sharp, 8 clubs. Marcus Spiller, how many can you name?
8 pissing clubs.
I know, right?
Oh, Gordon, Ruddy Bennett.
For reference, just to share a bit of solidarity with you guys here, when his name first came up and I started doing the research to get the clubs, I thought he had played for 2.
Yeah.
It's 8.
I'll go for 2.
Jim, it's a chance to go 2 all here.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 3 then, aren't I?
Go on then, name your 3.
3? You sure you want to name 3?
Yeah.
All right, Jim, there's a chance to tie it up to make it 2 all going into the final player of the game. Please name me 3 clubs that Lee Sharp has played for.
Man United.
That's correct.
Leeds United.
I'm out of ideas.
Now, this is a slight punt. I've got 2 slight punts and I've got to take a pick on one of them. I'm going to go for the Hull City. The Hull City? Hull City.
You're going for Hull City?
Yeah.
That's your final answer. Mm-hmm. Hull City.
Marcus Speller wins!
Crew would have been my other one.
He played for an Australian side.
So, the clubs I've got listed here... Hang on, just let that play out.
Yeah, give me my moment. Yeah. I haven't had that for a while.
The clubs I've got listed here that he played for...
There's an Aussie side in there.
Torquay United.
Yeah, no
Manchester
way.
United. Leeds United. Sampdoria.
Oh, Samp, yes! Had a tiny spell there.
You were thinking almost certainly of Bradford.
Yeah.
Oh, Bradford!
He spent a bit of time on like Portsmouth.
Obviously.
Exeter City. And then he went to a club called Grindavik, which are in, I think, the Icelandic league.
Oh, what am I thinking, Australia?
So, I don't know. He may have managed in Australia, perhaps. Yeah, but that, those are the clubs officially listed. He finished in 2003. So
Bradford was the one there.
It's a 3-1 win for Marcus. Do you want to play the final one just to get it out of the way?
Go on, why not?
Yeah. Okay, so
it's Friday.
Jim, you're up first. It's 7 clubs in total. He's still playing. The first one we're about today is still currently playing. It's your favourite player of all time.
Carl Tevez.
Correct. Carl Tevez.
Go on, Carlito.
How many 77 clubs can you name? Can you bring yourself to name?
How many of his clubs can I bring myself to name? So, I mean, I think a few obvious ones.
I think Jim is low-key quite good at this game.
I think he's very unlucky with Lee Sharp. That is the luck of the draw there.
Because you wouldn't have got more than 3.
No, exactly. That was just bad luck for Jimmy.
I'm drawing a blank on...
I need to hear an answer from you, mate. I need to give a bid, please, if you don't mind.
I'm going to go 4.
Marcus?
I've got 5, I think.
You want 6 or do you want Marcus to name 5?
Go for
Marcus,
5.
Name 5 for me, please.
Manchester United.
Correct.
West Ham United.
Correct.
Juventus.
Correct.
Boca Juniors.
Played for them 3 times. Correct.
Corinthians.
Correct.
There it is.
There you go. Mm. So you could have Boca Juniors, Corinthians, West Ham United, Man United, Manchester City, of course.
Oh, bloody... Did I not say Man City?
I forgot West Ham.
Yeah.
Juventus, Boca Juniors again, Shanghai, Shenhua, then back to Boca Juniors.
Do you know what? It was the Chinese club and I thought, no, I'm not going to showboat.
So Marcus wins. A good win for Marcus. It's 4-1.
Oh, needed that.
Jim, I think it's one of those games where it could have gone a bit closer. But
Lee Sharp there, you see, I don't get Lee Sharp. It's 2-0. I get nervous. Yeah. Do I go for Corinthians? With Carlos Tevez, maybe not.
Yeah. Let us know how you get on. How you got on at home, or wherever you're listening. Let us know how you did. All of you probably named every single club, every player, because you're all brilliant at it. So good for you. That's it.
I think most people would have got Man City for Carlos Tevez.
I think so.
But I didn't need it in the end.
Showboating.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Enjoy the football this weekend. We're back on Monday, of course. Until then, though, say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Don't forget to subscribe to Football Ramble Presents for loads more free football content with loads of really good people. It's goodbye from me as well.
Goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more... then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.